Welcome to the Kevin and Fred Show. I am your host, Kevin Kaufman, and along with my business partner, Fred Weaver, we bring to you our podcast where we highlight some of the best and brightest in the real estate industry, along with a weekly segment called Industry Headlines. We are a proud member of the Industry Syndicate, family of real estate podcasts, and we are so glad that you are listening and tuning in today, and we hope you enjoy our show. All right, we're back with Kevin and Fred Show, and today I am actually technically rejoined by my dear friend, business partner, guy I looked up to the most, guy I like having steak with in Chicago the most, Mr. Dustin Runyon. Dustin, how's it going, my man?
So good, dude. Thank you. One of the best dinners I've ever had, by the way, in Chicago.
No doubt.
Gibson Steakhouse.
Oh, dude, the best. In fact, yeah. I was telling somebody about that yesterday, just literally yesterday. I was telling somebody about that steak dinner. Because it was amazing. And anyways, I'll stop for the listeners at home for, you know, because there's only five people that really know what we're talking about. So anyways, we'll move on. So for those of you who've been listening from the very beginning, Dustin was probably one of the first 10 or so guests on the show. And at the time, it really wasn't a podcast. I was kind of just recording stuff for the Facebook group that we run, Next Level Agents, but also taking the audio from it. And so he's back, a couple of years, 2.5 years later or so now it's been. And Dustin and I, dude, we go way back, and you and I have had a lot of really cool conversations, some in private, some in front of other people recently. I'm always intrigued with what you're doing, not just because you're my buddy, but because I actually am intrigued by what you're doing. And I just figured, like, let's run this conversation back and kind of see where it's going. And I think it's more because I think as you have, I don't know, I guess maybe gotten your legs as who you are in business, but also who you are. I hate this. I don't normally use this term in the best of light, but on stage, like when you're able to talk to others, I feel like you have become more and more who you are over the last couple of years. And so I really wanted to kind of talk about that because I just think it's so fucking important.
Mm-hmm. That's the best compliment you could ever give me. So I appreciate that.
you got it, brother. Yeah. So let's do this, man. Give the listener who doesn't know you yet the 2 minute, 1 minute, whatever. Who is Dustin Runyon? And let's include the real estate team in there because most of our listeners are in real estate.
Yeah. Just a quick 60 second. I got started in 2008 in short sales in Phoenix. I was about 22 years old. I moved back to Lake Havasu to run a office out here. We ended up growing that office, and I kind of didn't feel like I could grow much more with that company. And so I essentially, after about 5 years with the company, I started over. I literally started over. I sold my house. I sold everything I owned. I sold my car. I sold everything. And I started over, and I started a real estate sales team. And that was about a little over 3 years ago. During this time period, when I was with the other company, I had started a coaching company. And so I currently coach about 30 clients right now. And so we have the real estate sales team, we have the coaching company, and then also we have a development company where we develop subdivisions and develop land.
Yeah. So yeah. No big deal. So it's just a little development company, which we're going to talk about too. Give us a rundown, like real estate sales business. So a couple years into that now, what's that look like? Not necessarily like what is your interaction and kind of what you do, but give us an idea. How many people on the team? What's the transaction volume like? And I think for perspective, what would be good, give the listener who doesn't know Lake Havasu, Arizona, perspective on what how many people are in Lake Havasu, like how many transactions actually happen there, not just on your team.
Yeah. Currently right now there's 55,000 people that live here in Lake Havasu City. It's a smaller town. This year we'll do about 120 million in sales. We are currently in Reno, Henderson, and Lake Havasu City. So Reno, Nevada, Henderson, Nevada, and Lake Havasu City. We have about 12 people on our team total. As a whole, agent wise, I think we have about 10 people on an agent. With two, so 13 people on the team, two administrative, and then we have some virtual stuff cool. for marketing and whatnot. But yeah.
That's awesome. And then you mentioned development. And so give me an idea, like for the average agent, they're like, I think most of us don't really, like, you taught me what development is. Like, I called you, it was a couple months ago. Yeah. And I did a Zoom and you kind of were breaking down for me what you do. What exactly is that? And like, most importantly, do you how did you get involved in that?
Yeah. Like Havasu, I don't know how it is in other cities, to be completely honest. I feel as if just most similar is like Phoenix. In Havasu, one of the things that we have here is people buy lots and then meet with builders. So they buy a lot and they go around and meet with a bunch of builders. And once they meet with a bunch of builders, they pick their builder and they build a custom home. Whereas I've seen, and I know that happens in other cities, obviously, but I've also seen where a lot of these developers are doing like package stuff, right? These homes are you come in, you buy a lot home package. And so what we've done here is we develop land. And so that's the horizontal piece of it. And what that looks like is going in and doing grading and infrastructure. And so infrastructure is going to be your water, sewer, and electric. And then grading is getting the pads flat. And so what we do is we grade, we get obviously design and engineer, and then we get the permits from the city. And then we grade these large parcels of land out to flat grade. And then we put infrastructure in as well. And then boom, we sell these lots ready to build on.
That's awesome. So Dustin's not going to brag. I'm just going to tell you that they're kicking ass and he's doing a lot. And he also said it very nonchalantly. So for the listener that didn't catch that, they're well north of $100 million. And it's 3 years in business. And by the way, on that real estate sales team, like where you guys doing north of $100 million, what's your ad spend like for leads, for new leads?
Zero.
Okay. So they're not spending money on leads. And so like, I don't like, I, this is not like, I want to brag on top line numbers and stuff like that. But what I do want to point out here is, Dustin's running a couple different big businesses that are really because of the other thing I want to talk about. And you mentioned, which is coaching, right? And so I'd love to talk to you about your journey personally as to why you would even become a coach. What led you to that? And then if you're open to it, maybe how does that show up in the rest of your businesses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the foundation of everything that I do. So I started out in coaching. Actually, I'd never planned on being a coach. I hired a coach. I went to a seminar once. I had a draw to just like leadership and growth. It saved my life because I was kind of a degenerate in my early 20s. And this thing called leadership and personal development kind of saved my life. I got obsessed with it. And so I was growing personally. And a friend of mine at the time actually came to me and asked me, will you coach me? And I think I was 26 years old. And I was like, sure, I have a coach. I'll coach you. I'll basically like, I don't really know what I'm doing.
I'll just copy whatever she says to me, I'll say to you. Yeah.
You got it, right?
Figure
like,
it out.
Just naive, right? It's like, I look back, I'm like the blind leading the blind a little bit, but started coaching him. And then he got results in his business. And because we based it on just some fundamental principles. And he started crushing it in business financially. And then other people started asking me to coach. And what I found through that was that like finances doesn't solve everything in your life. There's a reason why we do what we do. And so I got obsessed with the psychology on why we do what we do. And then from psychology, I got obsessed with, you know, the psychology aspect of it, performance psychology. But then from there, I'm like, here I am performing at this high level. I'm making decent money. And I still feel like something's like not there. And then that's where like, honestly, I got heavily involved in just like, honestly, basic therapy, like just learning to heal from past trauma. The reason why I want to perform so much, like, why am I always in this performance? Why can't my mind stay still? Why am I always needing to be distracted or to be stimulated? And that started to really fascinate me. Because I feel like all healthy productivity is done through healing. And that's what I found personally for myself. So I have like three coaching modules that basically states like healing, Is the first one module, right? We need to be healing, and that's taking care of ourselves and looking into our past and accepting some trauma and accepting some things of the way that we are. And then learning to build a relationship with ourselves. Second is performance psychology. And then third, and this is a far third, is business strategy.
Like, it's third. It's like, yeah, you know, it's like way, way down. Like you can almost not see it.
Yeah. It's like once we're on the path of healing and we're on the path of what we know how to get ourselves to perform in a healthy manner, that's not destructive. Then you get to have fun with just business strategy, and then it's fun and exciting.
Something was interesting the way you just kind of said that. You talked about how like you got into psychology first, and performance psychology was the term you used, and you were performing, dude. I know you, I saw you, I watched you do it. I saw you do your thing, and you were performing at a freakishly high level. And yet then you said, but then like, then you kind of transitioned to like, okay, but why do I have to do this? Like, what is it? And that's when the healing started. That's obviously like, was there like a moment in time where you realized like, I need to explore this other thing? Was it a process? Yeah. Like, what was that like?
To be completely honest, man, from just being transparent, as if we're like not even on the show, like from 25 to 29, from 25 to 30, really what ran the show was my ego. So like the ego really drove the show. And I don't mean it from a standpoint of like egotistical, but it was just very head-based. And like, I was giving because I was told that's what you do. And I was reading it in books. And so you gave, and I served, and cause that's what you did in leadership. And it was just very head-based. And, at 30, to be honest, I got kicked in the teeth. Like I had something that happened personally in my life, where I thought that I had it kind of figured out, and I didn't. And I have this belief now. It's like, when you believe you've got it all figured out, the world has a way of, yeah.
You gotta be worried.
Yeah. The world has a way of waking you up. And I got woken up, and I got woken up in a really big way. And I'm really grateful for that moment. And just to kind of out of respect for the person that this happened with, it just woke me up. And when it woke me up, I started looking at some things, you know, not to get super, I mean, if you're cool, no, you transparent. Can, yeah.
100% is as far as you want to go.
Like I hadn't talked to my dad since I was 16, and I'm here. I am 30 years old, and I'm faced with some shit where I got to really start looking at myself in the mirror, how I've been operating. Because a lot of the times, like when we're in the ego, like we're just blind to shit. We're just blind to how we're up, or I was just blind to how I was operating. And I thought what I was doing was love. I thought the way I was operating was out of truth. And it wasn't coming. I wasn't performing from the right place. And so I had to take a big look in the mirror, called my dad at 30, forgave him. He had been out of my life. And the way that I received love from my dad as a child is I had performed. Like nothing was ever good enough. And so here I am at 30 years old, still living out that.
Did you figure that out like through with your like therapy or like did you already kind of know that?
Yeah, well, no, I always thought I didn't have good grades in school, and I didn't have good grades. I never went to college. So I always felt like I had something to prove.
Okay.
Like that the way I was going about this was the right way. And I don't know if that resonates with anyone else, but like,
well, I'm like, it resonates with me. I had a close relationship with my dad for as close as we could be given we were lived in different states. And he wasn't the dad that he could have been, although he thought he was. And so like, I never felt like I ever had any, like hard emotions around that, you know, like I never blamed him for anything, stuff like that. Always had a pretty good relationship with my mom, still do. But I had the same feeling though. It's like very much of a chip on the shoulder, for lack of a better reason. Like, and so like, I better win because like, I want to prove everyone wrong, I guess, or maybe I needed pats on the back from other people or something.
Yeah, I think it's a blend of that too. Like I'm right with you. Chip on your shoulder. And I had it like in my, all in my 20s. And I'm going to prove it, you know, I'm going to prove my way was the right way. The way I went about it was the right way. Right.
Yeah. So what, and, like, what was that break? So that, so like through therapy, like you actually realized like, hey, this is the thing that why I'm performing all the time.
Yeah. And like why I have just a need to perform all the time, need to perform all the time. And I didn't want to call it like burnout, but it would show up in different areas of my life. Burnout would show, it wouldn't show up by like, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. It would show up in like poor behavior. It would show up in like bad decisions, you know, in like my personal life and things I would do. And it was really, I was looking for an outlet when I really needed to kind of heal from some past shit that had gone on. And then I had gotten into a relationship with the other part, which was, you know, my mom, where I was constantly trying to earn her trust. So how do I do that? Through performance. Because when I was young, you know, I lost it. I lost the trust. And so I used performing as a way in going as big as I could and working as long as I could as a way to, I was still living out that belief system.
Yeah.
At 29, 30 years old.
Which makes total sense. Like, and for those of you who don't know, like when he says that, like he was in, it was a business relationship with his mom and he did a really fucking hard job that almost everybody fails at. When I say almost everybody, I mean, literally almost everybody fails at. And he performed at a super high level for a number of years, at a super high level, like at the height of a level that you would expect in a big city, not in a town of 55,000 people. And so I could see, I could see where, like how that would show up. But like, so you're, let me ask you this, dude. So you're kind of, you said something in Flagstaff and I'm referencing Flagstaff for the listener. Like we did a little event not too long ago where we had a bunch of realtors just kind of got together and Dustin came in and did a talk and it was just kind of, it was kind of a cool thing, but you said something about if you're getting results without growing yourself, you're not going to be able to keep those results. And like what I'm hearing, like, did you consciously like feel like that when you were like in that position prior to kind of like starting over and starting your own business or was that just more of a realization along the way?
Like I was after, like I hadn't. Yeah. So like, yeah. Like if you're getting results that are beyond your development as a person, then they're going to always find back to where you're at. Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I found that out. I was just always pushing, like grinding and pushing and pushing and grinding. And I wasn't, I didn't know boundaries. I didn't know what self-love was. I didn't know how to put myself first and what that looked like. I wasn't putting myself first. I was living out of emotion instead of principles. I didn't even know what my values were. I valued whatever was in front of me. I wasn't very on purpose and the default to the solution to everything was work harder and do more.
Okay.
And that, I mean, even in my 20s, like where I was like, have energy, like an animal, like it's just, I mean, it would show up in the facet that I'd make 150 grand and I'd spend 160, you know, like what are the symptoms that are showing up in my life that are trying to throw red flags? Like, hey, pause.
Hey, look over here. Look.
Yeah.
Look. Yeah.
Right. And when you're in motion all the time, you can't see those red flags all the time. When you're just working and working and working and working, you can't see those, you know? I'm going out on the, you know, on the weekends and I'm on a Saturday night and I'm drinking too much, or I'm spending too much money on, like I said, on just dumb things, trying to fill some sort of void.
Yeah.
That I thought work and success would fill.
And obviously didn't.
No.
So what did, like, how do you start to like, fix that, for lack of a better word?
Yeah.
That sounds like a dumb question, but I don't know. I'm not real sure how else to ask.
No. That. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's something you fix. I think it's something you heal from, but I would say it starts with putting yourself first. That's where it starts. It starts with putting yourself first and it starts with making your peace a priority.
So like your personal peace,
your personal inner peace, a priority.
how does someone start to do that?
The very first thing is like, one, I would tell you like find somebody, get help. Like if there's anything I want to do in this space that we're in is to like make therapy hip, like make it cool again, like go, it's dope. Like have somebody you can talk to, man, have somebody you can lean on, have somebody that you can share your thoughts and hearts and truths with. But it starts with looking at yourself. Number one, you know, number two, it starts with, setting boundaries, learning what a boundary was and setting boundaries around. I was sacrificing my boundaries for success all the time. And I was wondering why I was like, I would succeed and feel empty, succeed and feel empty. And so, yeah, it really is off of building a relationship with myself. What do I value? Right? What are my core values? What do I want to value in this life? What beliefs do I want to believe? Right? What are some things I need to accept in my life about myself? What are some things I need to learn to love and learn to give grace? And so for me, it started with honestly taking a big stand and leaving a situation that I had put myself in. And I was playing the victim in that situation. And so it started with setting that big boundary with myself, and I earned a lot of self-respect.
So like you said, like you acknowledged, hey, this situation over here is not, even though it looks good, this is not healthy for me. Mm-hmm. And so my new boundary is going to be this thing comes to an end. And because you kept your commitment to yourself, or you protected that boundary, that allowed you to start to feel like you were winning with yourself.
Correct. I was earning a great relationship built off trust and respect. And when you've got no respect for yourself, because you'll just go wherever, do whatever, win wherever, how wherever, all for a buck, or all for an award, or all for success, like you kind of lose yourself. Or yeah. At least I did. I lost myself. So I needed to find myself again. Who was I? What did I want to be? And I was in a position where my reality was being denied constantly. And I played the victim to that instead of saying, hey, I'm allowing this to happen. Number one, number two, boom, boundary, wherever my reality is being denied. Cause if you allow your reality, this is what I've learned, is like, if you allow your reality to be denied, you will start to lose trust in yourself.
If you allow your reality to be denied, you will start to lose trust in yourself. Yeah.
Yes. It's like no different than like when a kid falls down and he's like, oh, I'm hurt. He's like, no, you're not. Get up. You're good. Get up. Our reality has been being denied since we were kids, right? Get up.
Yeah.
Get up. No, it's like, dude, this is hard. It's not hard. Or like, I just wanted to grow in the position I was in. I wanted to expand. I wanted to grow. And it's like, well, when is it ever going to be enough? You're ever going to just be happy? Can't you just relax? Can't you just chill? It's like where I'm trying to be changed. And it's one thing that I've noticed is when you try to change somebody, understand you're trying to get them to behave more like you. And if you're trying to get people in your life to behave more like you, it's probably because you aren't very happy with the way you're behaving. Because you're happy with the way you're behaving, you just behave like you behave. And you're good with you. And you're great with you.
Yeah. You know, and I've heard you say that of like, you know, I just finally, you've said something to the effect of like, you just decided to just be you. Like 100% yeah. Just be Dustin all the time. Forget about all of the, you know, all the times that you weren't, where you were compromising, you were giving in. And you also mentioned like that, but that came at a cost, because if you're no longer willing to kind of bend who you are for the situation, and you're mm-hmm. just going to be Dustin all the time, you piss some people off that way, right?
Oh yeah. When you start to set boundaries in your life, it's going to be met with resistance. And it's what the shitty thing sometimes in your life is, it's going to be met with resistance by people that you really care about and you really love. But what happens when you set boundaries is you find out where people's true respect is for you. Right. And so I was tired of putting on all these masks, the mask of that stage mask, or that like, I got it, I'm all good mask, or like, it's fine mask, or the mask of masculinity, or like the mask of, I'll handle it. You know, I'm fine, whatever that mask may be, and just take it off. Just want to be me. So when I started my organization, I made a promise to myself is like, no matter what you do with this organization, you just fucking be you.
Has that been hard?
Man, it's like when things are going good, you kind of forget how difficult they were. But like,
right.
I will tell you, Kevin, straight up, man, I sold my house. I sold my car. I sold everything. Mind you, I'm like coaching people at this time, but I sold everything. And I'm like, I'm going to go to a minimalist. I'm going to need nothing. And I'm going to put my heart and soul into this organization. And I'm going to do it. The thing I got at my old company was I got to spend time with like so many teams, and I got to see what worked and didn't work. And they were like hundreds of agents. And it was like, I had this laboratory where I was able to learn so much of what worked and didn't work. And, I was just going to lead with my heart. Like I was just going to be myself and lead with my heart. And if I was, it honestly felt so freeing that, I got to be real. It was hard to get to that point, but once I got to that point and I let go, it was easy. Cause being yourself, man, is fucking easy once you go with it, you know?
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. I could totally feel that. And you said something a few minutes ago about, you know, if you can get anything out of this, like you want people to know, like seeking therapy and getting help like that and kind of working on you and working on ourselves and like that's you want to make that cool. And dude, to be honest, that's why I want to have this conversation again, because I know that about you. It's why I shared your stage numbers, because if we don't do that, then it's harder for people to accept that or hear that. Not everybody does, but here's what I know, dude. The people that I've put you in front of or introduced you to, or they feel like they know you because I made an introduction somewhere or something. The gratitude that comes from those people after catching a little bit of the message you're trying to share, whether we're talking about Justin or my homie Chelsea or whoever, it's just so fucking needed. And I want people to know that, like, and I think the way you've really dug into working on you is, number one, it's awesome, and it's an example for me, and I think for so many others too, as well, to either start the work or continue doing the work so we can get better. Because if there's anything I've learned, and I think I knew this intellectually, I've known this intellectually for a long time, but to like really see it is like the more you heal, I heal, the more we progress as people and grow, like that's where the results all over our life just blow up, right? Whether business and personal, you know, usually both at the same time.
Yeah. Yep. I couldn't agree more. I believe just all healthy productivity is based in healing. Like that's my truth. And we work with a company, my friend Natan over at Single Sprout out of New York, they're a tech recruiting company. He actually pioneered this where he got Boone Health. Me and him have similar beliefs in business. He got this company called Boone Health to come in and coach a group of therapists who coach workplace people. And so we've partnered our team. Everyone on our team is now with Boone Health. And so that's something we offer our teammates here on the Dustin Runyon team is like, you join us, man. You don't have to, but you can have a twice a month coach who talks to you about, you know, work stress, anxiety, home life, work home life, therapy, anything that you need handling from. So it's something that we do that. And then also like if you're on our team as well, you get free physical therapy too. So like, it's like, mind, body, like I really believe that. I really believe it because I'm a product of it.
That's awesome. Boone, like, what do you know the URL or where people can find out more information about that? Yeah, by chance?
I believe it's BOON. Actually, I know it's BOON. BOON Health. Boone Health. They've been extraordinary. Let me see.
I'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah, for you guys too. I'll send you the info on it and get you over your contact.
Awesome. I think that's super great. You said something, it's kind of sounds cliche, but like change starts with us, like kind of like, yeah, no shit, Kevin. But, I think that can be hard. Like it's so easy for us to go, I know I want to change. I want different results, but it's all these assholes I have around me. It's not me.
Yeah. Personal response, all healing is based in personal responsibility. It's not based in fault. And I think we get the two mixed up. It's like fault and personal responsibility. It's like, dude, yeah, it ain't my fault, you know?
Those aren't the same thing. Like fault and responsibility are not, those are not the same thing.
Yeah. It's not my fault my dad bounced at 16. It is my responsibility to heal from it.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? It's not my fault, you know, the market shifts or changes, but it is my responsibility to pivot with it.
Yeah. Isn't there like so much more power in operating that way? And power meaning like you feel like you have power over your results and your relationships and the outcomes in your life that you're looking for when you operate from that place of, yeah, this wasn't my fault, but I am responsible for maybe dealing with it.
Yeah. Oh, personal responsibility. It's like, I used the lame like analogy, like all these superheroes got their powers. The human being, the power in the human being is in personal responsibility. Like there's like a few things that there's very few things you can control, but the only thing you can control is yourself and what you do and how you respond. I would say is you got a bunch of assholes in your life. The question is, why are you allowing that to happen?
Yeah.
You know, you got a shitty workplace environment, quit. Right. It's like, well, I'm not in a financial position. I can't. Okay. Well, then there's this thing called sacrifice. So we got to take personal responsibility and say, you know what? Sacrifice is this, it's like kind of like I give up now for a better future.
So I'm sacrificing right now for what I'm after.
Yeah. Sacrifice. It's a gamble with the future, right? That's what sacrifice is.
Yeah. It's like it's an investment, if you will. I look at it as an investment.
I use this as an example. I'm like, what's crazy is like, if you go to Vegas and you gamble, like on roulette, red or black, once you make the bet, you can't increase your odds. It's like 48%, right? Well, the thing about sacrifice is once you make a sacrifice in yourself to like, I always say it's a lot of the times I got a money mentor guy. He's worth hundreds and hundreds of millions. And he always says, dude, it ain't about how much you make. It's about how much you keep and the responsibility you take for your spending. Right. The piece like people have they believe that the way that they live it's a right. It's a right. I get coffee every morning. It's a right that I live this way, or I have this, or I do this. And it's like, well, what have you done in the past that put you in a negative financial position? And what can we do today to where we can create some financial security, so you're not having to say yes to things that you want to say no to? These are great questions.
These are really great questions.
And so, with sacrifice, though, when you start making sacrifices in your life so you can have a better future, you can increase the odds. It's a bet with the future that says, I'm going to give up right now for a better future. And the way you increase those odds is through discipline and commitment.
It's like by making a decision today of just the simplest example. I make a decision today, like I'm putting 10% of my money into whatever, right? Certain stock or even savings account, doesn't matter. Like if I just do that, whether I get paid $100 a week, $500 a week, $1,000 a week, $10,000 a week, $100,000, doesn't matter. If I just built that muscle when I was like making $100 a week, then I've made my bet. Like, and now all I have to do is follow the rule or the guideline that I set up, and I know I'm good. Right. And I don't have to worry about it's like that for me. It's like that decision fatigue. Cause that's the scary part is like, you start making some money. you know, $100,000 for the first time, $200,000, $300,000. And like, all of a sudden, like, you have more options than you've ever had before. Like, there's a lot of opportunity to make some really stupid decisions. You know, and if you're prone to stupid decisions, like the two of us, or you have a track record of having, enjoyed some of those, like, you know, it could get bad. But if you just went, well, hold on a second, this is just the way I operate. Cause I think you use the word, values or, things that, you know, I'm going to live by, like, no, it's just the way I operate. So here's kind of the rule. The money goes here. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I go, you can't grow if you keep defending bad decisions.
Yeah.
And the best way to take care of yourself, this goes back to exactly what we talked about in the beginning. What is discipline? Discipline's really self-love, right? Mm-hmm. You're setting yourself up to get disciplined in your life because you care about you. Because you love you, because you're treating yourself the way you would somebody you were in the care of, because you're treating yourself the way you would a best friend.
Yeah. It's like we got to like almost like look, step out and look at ourselves at like in like third person.
Boom.
Like, hey, if I was advising, like, let's say Dustin came to me and asked me for advice on this thing, like, what would I tell him? And I would say, like, dude, this is your best strategy. And like, we got to look at ourselves the same way. And then make that decision in third person rather than in the emotional first person.
Yes. I always say it's so easy to comp somebody else's house. It's so hard to comp your own.
Fact.
Yeah. It's so hard to comp.
Working on a flip right now. Fact.
Yeah. So
this guy's not done a flip before. Fact.
It's so funny. So yeah. So it's like, it really is. It's building that relationship with ourselves. And the reason why sometimes it's hard for us to, you know, take our own advice is because we don't trust us.
Yeah. And I also think I heard you say something like, we don't trust us because like, we haven't given ourselves anything to trust about us.
Yeah. It's like you haven't. So a good relationship is like, I think about a good relationship at home. I try to throw the love word out, like throw that out. Okay. So what is the relationship at home, like between you and your partner? Well, it should be based off respect, trust, and intimacy. Those are like the three key elements to like a good relationship at home that I've learned, for me at least. So with myself, respect and trust. Well, how am I going to earn respect from myself? Well, I got to start putting myself first. Right? Like, yeah. I got to start doing things that earns respect. And that's called keeping promises. So I'm going to start with making the best thing you can do. If you're like, you're looking, like you're listening to this right now, best thing you can do is write out a list of some things you know you should be doing that you're not doing. Pick the smallest one. The smallest one. So you write out a list. I should be waking up earlier. I should be making my calls. I should be saving money. I should stop spending. I mean, honestly, a lot of these things are, it's like you should be stopping more things than you should be adding usually. Right. Almost and so always. Make a list of some of the, cause I have this belief, you know what to do. And if you don't fully know, you know, some things you don't need to be doing. And so, write a list of the things you should be doing, pick out the smallest, easiest one. And let's commit to that one tomorrow, or excuse me, today. And then when tomorrow comes, we're going to commit to it again tomorrow. What we want to do is we want to try to get some momentum going. If it's like communicating with your spouse, like at home, like, okay, I'm going to open up to her. I'm just going to, when she asks me how my day is, I'm actually going to tell her how it was.
Yeah.
You know what? I was tired all day. I was in a meeting, kind of felt a little unsure of myself. Not sure how it went. I got a little insecurity rocking on that. Did have a great email that I got. We got this deal moving and, I feel a little confused about how that one meeting went. So I'm a little in my head right now, but yeah. How's your day?
Wow. You know what I mean? Even doing that, like, first of all, the effects that can have for the relationship with you and the other person, with me and the other person, but the effects of, to me, when you said that, like, the fact, like, if we're checking in with ourselves enough to be able to verbalize, like, the example you just gave, like, holy shit.
Self-awareness. Big. Yeah. And you can't have self-awareness without having a relationship with self.
Yeah.
And most people's relationships, or at least, you know, that I've seen, is like, it's based in not being enough. And it's based on, you know, it's based on fear, which is super normal. It's a human thing. Mine is too, even to this day. It's never called healed. It's called healing.
Yeah.
You know, cause it means it's ongoing. And so, it starts with making micro promises to yourself. And once you get some momentum, the goal is to get you some wins under your belt. Let's get you on a winning streak, right? And so once you get a winning streak, what we can do is we can go, oh, you know what? Because if I told you, Kevin, I was going to show up on this call today at 1 o'clock and I no-showed you, you'd probably give me the benefit of the doubt. But if I did that 4 or 5 times, where I just no-showed you 4 or 5 times, by that time you're like, dude, okay, this is just disrespectful.
Yeah.
And so how many times do we make a promise to ourselves that we're not keeping? You said you were going to get that toxic friend out of your life. And when they make ambivalent comments, and last night at dinner, you were hanging out with that friend, they made the ambivalent comment and you didn't say anything. You didn't respond how you had said you were going to respond. You lose respect. And when you lose respect, you lose trust.
Yeah.
And then you've got to try to go to work and you're like, all right, man, I got to think big and do big things. It's like, yeah. Well, it's kind of hard to do big things and go big when you don't have any self-trust.
So true.
You get what I mean?
I 100% get what you mean.
And so what was crazy is, and I know we talk, is when you start living your truth and you start setting boundaries in your life and you start building a relationship with self and you start putting that out into the world, those are the types of people you start to attract.
Yeah, because if there's anything that's true, it's that when people understand who we are, we're going to get more of that. Like the people that are attracted to that, we're going to get more of that. And the people that it's, you know, unattractive to or repellent to, like, that's okay. They're going to go away. And that's good. Like, hey, listen, if we're being ourselves though, if we're being real honest, like that's actually good.
You hit it, dude. Like when you know somebody, like, it's like when you know somebody's like not your person, it's like all good, man. Like you do you. I'm not going to be liked by everybody. And the way I live my life isn't going to be liked by everybody. And that's a good thing. Because if it's liked by everybody, it means I'm wearing a lot of masks.
Yeah, it's for no one, actually. It's funny you say that. Ben, Kenny, and I have this conversation all the time. And we'll be like, because both of us are always talking to and kind of know a lot of other people. And one of us will undoubtedly say like, hey, do you know so-and-so? And like, we'll have this experience of them or this view of that. And so often one of us will be like, yeah, you know, no, nothing wrong with it. Like nothing wrong with the guy. Just, you know, he's not my people. And like that's the term that we use. Like definitely nothing wrong. Good guy, good girl. Like she seems cool. She seems smart. Not my people. Right. And that's okay. Like you not everyone is your people and you're not going to be everybody's people.
Big facts right there. Yeah. That's a great statement.
We've got to get going in a minute. One thing I also wanted to talk about, I almost forgot until like a second ago, was you've been doing these live conversations on Fridays. Fired Up Friday, right? Fired Up Fridays every single Friday, maybe 2 months now. Does that sound right? 3 months?
Yeah. About 8 of them. Yeah.
Yeah. 8 or 10. Yeah. And, it's fucking cool. Like,
thank you, dude. So much.
Like it's fucking cool. And I would love, like, can you tell the listener what is Fired Up Fridays and like, where could they go if they wanted to join and tell them how much it costs?
Yeah. Yeah. This would be actually great. I mean, honestly, Fired Up Fridays, we're just talking psychology, growth, personal growth, leadership, leading your own life, how to take, you know, yourself and your business to the next level. And it's just a conversation. It's anywhere from a half hour to an hour every single Friday, 10 a.m. AZ time. Just go to Fired Up Fridays, plural, firedupfridays.com. And it's completely free. It's just, you know, we have anywhere from like, I don't know, 50 to 100 people on there every Friday. And it's been really cool. The group that we've got.
What I love is like, it's a Zoom call. And so like people are on and like, you're talking to everybody and it's like real and organic and it's not scripted. And like, we're just talking, and you're sharing things. Yeah, you know, you mentioned too earlier, and obviously I know this, you do coach some people. If somebody maybe went to Fired Up Fridays, they like what you had to say, or maybe they've just really resonated with something you said today, and they wanted to know more, or like just wanted to connect with you, like is the best way for them to just go to Fired Up Fridays? Is there something else? Like how do people connect with you?
Yeah, firedupfridays.com is going to be the best way. Follow me on social media, on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. Shoot me a message. But I'm always available. If I don't hit you back, don't take it personal, but I'll get there. But yeah, best place to find me is Fired Up Fridays in the chat on firedupfridays.com.
It's a fact. I can attest to that. Yeah. Or buy a really dope Pat Tillman card and direct message it to him.
Dude, show you're getting him the picture. My call.
Yeah. You will have his response. I guarantee it.
It's like a pair of dunks for Kevin. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, like now I've conquered. I don't know. I'll probably get some more. I'm not gonna lie. So absolutely. All right, dude. So Dustin, before we totally sign off, dude, is there anything like what did I miss here? Like what should you and I've talked about that we didn't?
What's the biggest thing that you've learned about yourself in the past 12 months?
The biggest thing I've learned about myself. First of all, freaking do harder things. Like meaning not actually like necessarily like hard, heavy, you know what I mean? Just, but like, the thing that that I'm ignoring, that you know you're, like you said, make a list of I should be dot 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 dot, or even I would even amend that to say I should be or I want to be dot 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 dot. Mm. And the opposite, I picked the thing that seemed the hardest.
Oh, good.
And I was like, oh my god, that was fucking awesome. And you know what, that like it was fasting, right? And
yeah,
and for me, so that also. Like the rest of the world in the last 12 months, I've learned that, man, so much fucking shit just doesn't matter. And I knew that. And I've been taught that more. And the people, and most importantly, like the corporations that we look to and trust and the leaders, mm-hmm. like look through the bullshit. Like just like look through the bullshit and really get focused on what matters, which is usually starts you know, with ourselves and under our own roof, with our own families, and relationships. And when we do that, it's just the trickle effects from everything else, that when you get one thing right in life, whether that is a physical thing or a health thing, a mental thing or a work thing or a relationship thing, the compound effect that can have throughout the rest of your life, the other areas, it's fucking huge. It's huge. It's like game changing big.
Oh yeah, I couldn't agree more. And if this past year, like the COVID year, gave anything to anybody, it was permission to not have it figured all out. Because fucking nobody's got it figured out, man. I say that in growth, so I'll leave with this. It's like I threw this up the other day, but like you're allowed to be fucked up. You're allowed to be, you know, lost. You're allowed to be confused. You're allowed to be tired. You're allowed to be exhausted. You're allowed to be to feel like it's, you know, like you're chaotic. You're allowed all of those things. It's called grace. Just one thing you're not allowed to do is to quit on you or to blame anybody else. And so nobody's got it figured out, man. So give yourself some grace and don't quit and don't blame anybody else. Just keep looking in the mirror every single day and building that relationship with the person that's staring back at you.
Yeah. You know, also you remind me of something. I've left this up in my draft folders. It's a couple questions that John Chepleck taught me. And he said this, like when you've got a problem with something or with someone else, a couple questions to ask yourselves are, what did I do to create it? What is it here to teach me about me? What do I need to do to change it? And what could I have done different? Because the people that are elite, the people that are really getting after it, to your point, fucking responsibility. And those are like, how do I take responsibility type of questions right there.
Completely agree. And that guy's a fucking stud. And he brings a lot of the heart-based stuff to the industry. And I love what he's doing too. So he's couldn't respect that guy more.
Yeah. All right, Stud, I'm going to run.
Appreciate you, brother. And much respect to you.
Right back at you, dude. Looking forward to chatting again soon, hopefully in person again very soon. And thanks for doing this, dude.
Dude, thank you for your always continued support, brother. Appreciate always, it, man. Guys. I love you.
Always, man. All right, guys. FiredUpFridays.com. Check us out. And Dustin, we'll talk to you soon, dude.
Later, buddy.
Later.
Today's episode is brought to you by Kevin and Fred's community at eXp Realty. Learn why over 1,000 real estate agents joined eXp Realty last week. Join us for an informational webinar this Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Register at intro to exprealty.com.